Morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house that He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, we mentioned last Sunday that we will finish the book of Daniel. So if you have some additional time other than your normal daily Bible readings, you may want to go ahead and finish reading Daniel, and we'll pick back up with the concluding two sermons on that after Easter. But now I want us to talk about Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. It is my favorite Old Testament book, and it is an excellent source of study as we approach the most celebrated of Christian church holidays, and that's Easter. Isaiah contains the second most messianic prophecies of any book in the Old Testament. The first is the book of Psalm. That contains the most. But in the book of Isaiah, we find many predictions about the coming Messiah, the virgin birth, the Messiah's ministry, and the suffering and death that the Messiah would endure. But the extraordinary fact we need to remember about the prophet Isaiah is that his ministry and prophecies occurred approximately 700 years before the coming of Jesus. And as we progress through our message today in our study of Isaiah, think of the New Testament eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life here on earth. The ones we normally review at Easter time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and determine for yourself the accuracy of Isaiah's prophecies. And the section of Isaiah that we shall be studying today is the and for the next few weeks is the 53rd chapter of that book. And this chapter encompasses what many call the suffering servant poems. It gives a picture of our Savior as the rejected servant, the suffering servant, the despised servant, and the victorious servant. And today we shall review the picture Isaiah paints of Jesus as the rejected Savior or the rejected servant. And our text for this morning is Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3. So please follow along as I read Isaiah 53, 1 through 3. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. In these three verses, Isaiah tells us several facts about the rejection of Jesus as Savior of mankind. First, he tells us that the predictions or the prophecies about the Savior were rejected by the people. The very first half of verse 1 states, "Who has believed our message?" Isaiah asked this question of his fellow countrymen with amazement. The great majority of Isaiah's peers had rejected the message of the coming of the promised Messiah. And Isaiah was attempting to help the people of Israel understand the important role their nation would play in the salvation of man. This salvation would come through the promised seed of Abraham and the throne of David. You know, Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Rome in chapter 10, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Paul is saying here that even in his day, many of his fellow man, of his fellow countrymen, were still rejecting the message of and about the Messiah. And you must realize that this was at a time when Paul was dealing with people who had seen Jesus and who had heard him speak, yet they still rejected him. Does that remind you somewhat of our society today? The evidence found in the scriptures is overwhelming proof of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Biblical scholars and secular historians alike have presented hard evidence that Jesus existed and that he performed the miracles recorded in the Gospels and attributed to him. And today, we are still rejecting the prophecies that Isaiah made concerning the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And we are also still rejecting the message of Jesus. Isaiah also said that the power of the Savior, the power of the Messiah, was rejected. Look at the last half of verse 1 in chapter 53. It states, "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Here Isaiah is speaking of the power of God when he refers to the arm of the Lord. In Isaiah's time, people did not have the opportunity to view God's power very often. However, when Jesus came to the earth, the power of God was working through him, and yet people saw the power and did not believe. Later on, we'll find in chapter 53 that Isaiah says that God had hardened the hearts of the hearers of the message. Isaiah was preaching with a broken heart because his people were rejecting the message that he was bringing. But even when Jesus lived on earth, John also repeated this prophecy of Isaiah in his gospel. He wrote, "Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The many miracles, the many good deeds, the many acts that Jesus performed should have convinced the people that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior. Yet when Jesus healed someone, the Pharisees would take the opportunity to remove the focus off of the miracle and put it on some man-made law that they claimed Jesus was breaking by healing a person. Even today, when the power of Jesus has been evident in the lives of people, they do not acknowledge it. They do not accept it. Even us as members and believers in the church will be skeptical when we see someone's life who is changed. It's almost as if we are waiting to see when they're going to change back. We still have difficulty accepting the power of the Lord. Isaiah predicted that people would reject the power of God which had been revealed to them. And sure enough, that proved to be 100% accurate. In Jesus' day, the people rejected the power which was displayed to them through His works and through His miracles. Jesus even raised people from the dead, and yet they did not accept Him. Today, Jesus' power is working in millions of lives throughout this world, but just as many lives are rejecting that power. The question is, shall we reject the power of God to save us through Jesus, through the gift of salvation? And Isaiah tells us that not only were the prophecies concerning this Savior rejected, not only was the power of the Savior rejected, but also the very person of the Savior was rejected. Look again at verses 2 and 3 of our text. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. In the first part of this verse 2, Isaiah states that Jesus grew up in a spiritually dead time. When he talks about dry ground, Isaiah is speaking of the deadness of the time, the deadness of the hearts of the people. They were looking for a Messiah that was to come from the line of the great King David. But part of the reason that Jesus was rejected was the very fact that he came from humble origins. They were expecting, as we know and have been told many times, a king, a royal king, worldly king, who would be a great warrior and who would lead them into battle against the unbelievers. But the verse 2 talks about the humble beginnings. We know Jesus was born in a manger, not in a palace. He was not surrounded with the pomp and circumstance we normally associate with a Savior of the world, a Son of God. Now, verse 2 does not mean that Jesus was ugly. Rather, he didn't have the trappings of royalty. He didn't have surrounding him the entourage that would attract people to follow him. Those who did decide to follow Jesus surrendered everything they possessed, but yet they gained much more through eternal life with God. Had Jesus come as royalty, think how many people would have been willing to follow him, hoping for the possibility of receiving something. Yet the people who followed Jesus knew that they were required to place Jesus first. They knew that they would not gain fame and fortune by following this heavenly king. They knew that the sacrifice had to be made. Even today, if Jesus promised to handle all of our problems in life and give us wealth, everyone would follow him. Jesus, however, wants his true followers to be those who follow him because they love him. But yet, Jesus was rejected because he did not have the pomp and the circumstance that the Jewish leadership wanted. They wanted somebody they could cling to and make them look good. Just as today, many people join religious groups and religious cults and religious causes because they think it will give them something for nothing. In verse 3, Isaiah prophesies that Jesus would be despised and forsaken by men, and his teachings would be ignored, and he would not be highly esteemed because of who he was, a lowly carpenter's son. And we see this prophecy fulfilled on the night before he was crucified. Matthew tells us they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him, took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him away to crucify him. How much more accurate can Isaiah's prophecy be? But Isaiah did say that Jesus would feel sorrow for the people who persecuted and rejected him. And we know as he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus understood what it meant to suffer. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Jesus became like us. That's the beauty of our belief. He came to earth and live just like us. He knows what it's like to suffer. He can sympathize with us. And so the question is, are we rejecting Jesus because we don't like the way he looks? Are we rejecting Jesus because we believe he's asking too much of us as a follower? Jesus was rejected in Isaiah's day, and many rejected him when he walked here on earth, and he is still rejected today. Yet I tell you, just like God's word says, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, but Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And we have the opportunity to look at history, to look at Isaiah's prophecies, to look at the eyewitness accounts from the Old Testament and see that if you reject him, all is lost. But if you accept him, eternal life in heaven. So the question is today, where do we stand? Are we amazed that Isaiah could paint such a vivid, accurate picture regarding Jesus 700 years before it happened? Maybe Isaiah was lucky. But how about this? Maybe the Bible is the Word of God. Maybe Isaiah was inspired to write by an all-knowing God. You know, John said about Isaiah, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Well, what about you? Do you reject the Savior? Or do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So many people still reject him today. In spite of all the evidence that he lived on this earth, that he performed miracles, that he raised people from the dead, that he himself was resurrected. Jesus wants us to accept him. God has been so patient, lo, these many years, giving us every opportunity to accept the Savior that he provided for us. And he extends that opportunity to us today. For those who have not accepted him, he invites you to come to this altar, to confess your sins to him and to accept him as Lord and Savior.